Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the War Room Podcast with your host, as always, Vega. And right now, for your entertainment pleasure, we are going to talk live pro wrestling. And, folks, we do have somebody on the line, and we are waiting for this caller to come in. And, folks, talking about wrestling, we're going to be going into a lot of things going on. And, well, yeah, it's going to be a really great show. And I thought you would enjoy the Universal Studios theme, because this show is the Vega Foulhark extravaganza. If only Foulhark would actually show up. And, wait a minute, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the War Room proudly brings to you the hottest commentator in all the land of Tulsa, Oklahoma. This is Travis Foulhark. Welcome to the show, Travis.
What's going on, buddy? How are you?
Good. I got two dates this weekend, but we're not going to get into that. This show's for wrestling, not talking about dating.
Hey, that's all right. Good luck to you on both of them. I got my own date as well, but it's with the same leading lady, so it's okay.
Yeah, I know. I'm horrible. Two different girls. Yeah. So,
no.
Freaking pimping. Yeah, it is. I will say that. So, how about SmackDown? That was straight fire.
Ha, 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 ha. I see what you did there. Good job, buddy. That was nice.
Yeah, it was straight fire. And they really set it ablazing headed into the road to WrestleMania. Folks, it's getting hot on SmackDown, and we got to see a different side of Bray Wyatt.
I'm very intrigued by all the puns that you want to throw in there, and that's pretty funny. But, yeah, SmackDown, I've said it for, I don't know, months now at a time. I mean, even when the brand split happened, happened again, I actually was expecting SmackDown to come out as a better show anyway. Granted, they had a bit of a rough and rocky start, but within the last few months, they've actually picked up as being in my mind, at least, the A brand between the two. Raw's just still too long. I can't do it. The Hulu hour and 30-minute version is all I can handle, really.
Yeah, I have to say, you know, SmackDown, that chairs match, yeah, that was something else.
Sure. But, you know.
What, you didn't like it?
The chairs match? No. I've never been a fan or a fan of that chairs match concept. Never, ever have. I never will be. It just doesn't make sense. You know, a lot of people are going to be like, oh, you have a tables match. How does that make sense? Easy. Somebody has to go through the table in order for you to win the match. You have to put your opponent through the table. Ladder match? How does that make sense? You climb a ladder and you grab something hanging above it. Chairs match, okay. First person to sit down. Is that what we're gonna play? You know what I mean? I just don't get it.
Sit down. That's like the best thing I heard. The first person to sit down. Might as well call it a musical chairs match.
I mean, that's pretty much what we'd be dealing with here. Matter of fact, there has been a musical chairs match before, and Chris Jericho won it.
Yeah, well, no wonder.
as a that's a one off gimmick.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, SmackDown first time ever next week we'll have James Ellsworth and John Cena in the ring together.
I don't know what to say about James Ellsworth at this point.
Yeah, the girl that's a friend gimmick, great. It's getting too much for me.
I just don't like it, and you know, and this is nothing personal towards James Ellsworth. I don't get him. You know, I know each generation's kind of got their what's the word I'm looking for? I guess underdog, if you will. Of course, the Attitude Era had Goldberg. The new generation attitude, or I'm sorry, the new generation era. That'd be 96 through 97 for those of you that don't know. I guess Barry Horowitz would fit that mold. And then let's move into the 2000 era, and you've got Spike Dudley. But granted, I think Spike had the most successful career out of all of them. Then you go to, I'd say 2007, whatever the HD era is, if we want to call it that. Who is that guy on ECW? What was his name?
Colin Delaney.
Thank you. Yes, you had him. You know, and
yeah,
we saw how that went. Hornswoggle. You can throw Hornswoggle into there too. But now I guess you got to have a James Ellsworth. So every generation's got one. But it's just very few of them can actually make a go of it. I mean, we know how Hornswoggle started. You know, he started off as Finlay's son. Vince McMahon's illegitimate son, later on to be revealed as Finlay's son, and yada, yada, yada. So he had a pretty successful run himself. He's the last cruiserweight champion of the originals title run. And then Spike Dudley, you know, also former cruiserweight champion, but also hardcore champion, European champion, tag team champion. You know, Spike had a pretty successful run himself, probably the most successful underdog in the entire world of pro wrestling.
Yeah, good old Spike and Dudley. You know, if you're just tuning in with us, this is the War Room Podcast. We talk about everything wrestling. That's all we got to say. Next week, we may not talk about wrestling because we have a jam-packed show that could take longer than we think it could go because we have the Bump Monkey Mafia and Gavin Dixon all on one show.
Yes, my illumination. The Illuminator is back. I can't wait.
Yeah, he is back. I mean, I'm convinced that I may play Barbie Girl, but I don't know yet.
I think it'd be funny. I personally, I'll be seeing him this weekend, so I'm going to be kind of looking for my opportunity.
Wait, is he wrestling at BPW?
Not BPW.
No. He's at WFC.
Yes. At their show this Saturday night, New Beginnings Church, right in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Shameless plug for everybody.
Yeah, shameless plug. This week, Pro Wrestling Live in Oklahoma, we got a compound, as usual, every Saturday at 8. Then you have WFC. And speaking of which, do you have a partner? Saturday?
Oh, yeah, yeah. As far as I know, it's still crap. Burnham's still there, as far as I know.
I thought Burnham would be at IZW on the 4th, because IZW has a show.
As far as I know, it's still Burnham. I haven't been told anything else, so I might find out
today,
so that he may not be there.
The Vegster will be on his day Saturday night, so we all know that the infamous Falhark Vega connection can't happen just yet, but we know it'll happen down the line.
Oh, yeah, there's going to be time, there'll be a place, just for my buddy here, because I know he's been dying for it, so we'll have it.
Oh, yeah. So, Seth Rollins, what a promo.
Yeah.
What a
set.
That was great. You think he wasn't going to make it, and then Triple H drove the fire.
Yeah, but I mean, I think we all could have seen this coming. I don't think it was anything that was really, I don't think it was really anything shocking was going to come from this. You and I talked about this before, and I didn't stray away from it then. I don't stray away from it now. I said before that I think Seth Rollins would recover in time, that I didn't care if it was kind of up in the air at the moment. I figured he would make it in time. I figured he'd get there, and, you know, sure enough, he's going to be there. So I ain't too fretting about it. Haven't fretted about it at all.
So, Chris Jericho is written off. We all know that. Do you honestly think we could have a Jericho Owens Universal title match at WrestleMania?
You know, I was actually thinking about this myself, just probably what after I watched the Hulu version on Tuesday. And the more I was thinking about it, I still wholeheartedly believe that, yes, we're still going to have Goldberg and Lesnar for the Universal title, which I know it doesn't necessarily fit with some people's idea of what the Universal title should do. I've said it before that I honestly don't think it's necessarily a bad idea whatsoever for the Universal title match to be Goldberg and Lesnar at Mania. By the same token, however, I can conflict here, and at the same time, I think that it's still a possibility that Kevin Owens can still win the match. The way that he delivered his promo last week and delivered his promo, this do truly believe that Owens and Goldberg are going to potentially have a pretty interesting match. Do I think it's going to be the same squash-like match as it has been with Lesnar? I don't think you can't do anything other than, mainly just because of the fact that you're going to have Kevin Owens have a competitive match with Bill Goldberg as opposed to Brock Lesnar. Now, you may be saving the competitive match with Brock Lesnar for Mania, but to have a competitive matchup with Kevin Owens before Brock Lesnar, I don't think that would be a smart idea. I think if anything, that would make Brock Lesnar look weak. And on top of that, the only way I can really see Kevin Owens retaining his title is somehow Jericho getting involved. 'Cause we've already heard the promo from Heyman the week before, where he was talking about it would just make things all that much sweeter if Goldberg wins the Universal title so Lesnar can take it from him. So that, to me, is the only way that Owens retains, is if Jericho interferes and actually gets caught, you know, because that would disqualify Goldberg, meaning Goldberg would be the winner, but he wouldn't gain the title. So I do think that that's a possibility, but I think we're still looking at the latter taking place of Goldberg and Lesnar.
Well, yeah. Let's go into a more interesting topic. Do you think it's going to be a triple threat at WrestleMania since AJ Styles is the rightful number one contender?
Is he the rightful number one contender, though?
He won a number one contenders match.
Randy Orton won the Rumble.
But here's the thing. They don't say that you're the number one contender. It says you get a title shot at WrestleMania.
That makes you a number one contender.
So there's two number one contenders. What are they going to have? AJ Styles, Randy Orton for the number one contendership?
Yes. As a matter of fact, this is how I see it playing out. And if this happens, then you heard it from me. And I'll actually be talking about this on my weekly YouTube show later on this week. So be on the lookout for that. That one's just Wrestling Reality. And this is how I see it going. It's going to be AJ Styles versus Randy Orton. It's either going to happen next week or the following week. My guess, it's going to happen next week. Shane McMahon's going to come out, and he's going to be the one that says, you know, AJ Styles has a right to the number one contendership, as does Randy Orton. So this is where we're going to settle this. Orton versus Styles, 1-on-1 in the main event, and Orton's going to beat AJ. Not going to say that Shane McMahon's going to be involved. Can I see Shane McMahon being involved? I can totally see him saying, like, just to ensure that there's no more confusion and to ensure that there is a rightful number one contender, I'll be the special referee. I can see that happening, but I don't think it will. So, but I'm going to play the approach both ways. Somehow Shane McMahon's going to get involved. He'll be involved in the decision somehow. If he's the referee, that's an easy way to do it. He counts AJ Styles' shoulder down, or he costs AJ the matchup in some form or fashion if he's not the referee. That's going to – if he does it out of the referee jersey, then it's going to be a quote-unquote accidental thing where AJ will claim that he did it on purpose, which is going to infuriate Styles. And the following week, you're going to hear AJ complain about how Shane is the one who cost him the number one contendership. And that's going to lead to AJ Styles versus Shane McMahon going into WrestleMania. And then you're going to have Bray Wyatt going against Randy Orton, because people tend to forget that the Randy Orton-Bray Wyatt storyline goes all the way back to September. This is one of those long-term builds that everybody so desperately craves, and they could see it happening. They saw it happening when he turned heel to begin with. This is exactly what people want. This is a long-term creative storyline, and it has now come to the crescendo, and rightfully should. And Bray Wyatt is where he finally should be in a main event title picture, and that's how I can see it playing out. Just because the rumored Styles-McMahon match has already been talked about, I don't know how I feel about that still. I still, in my heart, I believe AJ still deserves better. There are some that say that Shane against AJ is still going to be a good match, and it very well could be. I just think Styles deserves more. I really do.
Well,
that's just my stance.
Well, they're also exploring the fact of Shinsuke versus AJ at Mania.
Well, that is a very big, far-fetched rumor. And I say that because right now, Shinsuke is still holding it down with NXT. You know, they've got Bobby Roode over there that's still – his business with Nakamura is still unfinished. So I don't really see I don't see Nakamura getting involved this close to Mania. Granted, yes, it's still three or four weeks out. But honestly, I think that's still too close. I think if they wanted Nakamura and Styles for WrestleMania, they should have already been doing Nakamura's debut back at the Elimination Chamber. That's just, you know, one man's opinion. Could that still happen? Sure, because I could see them, you know, if for whatever reason, if somebody else, you know, brightens up to the idea that Shane versus Styles may not be the best idea for WrestleMania, I can see Shane McMahon coming out and, you know, Styles still berating him, saying that you took away my WrestleMania main event, you took away my title match, but more importantly, you took away my WrestleMania moment. And then Shane can come back and be like, okay, well, I do have an opponent for you, but I'll reveal him at WrestleMania. You don't get no, like, he doesn't tell you until then. And I think that would be a great build to bring in Nakamura, because while some people, like the smart marks, you know, they would probably figure it out. But think about that. There's so few surprises going into WrestleMania. Why not have a mystery opponent? Why not build to it where he won't, quote unquote, he won't know who it is. That can happen. But I don't think it will.
But, yeah, I think we're still getting, you know, AJ versus Shane. I mean, I really don't care for that, but you're right. It could be a good match. In other news,
it could, because
Jack Swagger requested his release. Supposedly, he was signed by TNA.
No. He hasn't been signed by TNA yet. That's not to say that won't happen, but not yet. Alberto Del Rio just debuted with TNA tonight, though.
Yeah, and he won the whoops, I'm not going to say that because people will be like, really? You just said that?
Oh, well. I mean, they're going to see it next week.
Yeah, I'm not going to give spoilers away because I'm pretty sure I'd get a nasty letter from Dutch Mantel saying, why the heck are you giving out spoilers on your podcast? I'm like, well, it's the internet's fault for releasing them.
I was going to say, you're not going to get no kind of heat, if you will, from anybody because, I mean, anybody can get on the internet this day and age and see that for themselves.
Well, spoiler alert, Alberto Del Rio wins the TNA World Heavyweight Championship from Lashley. There I said it.
Oh, and FYI, for those that did not know, he is not, of course, Alberto Del Rio. He is Alberto De Patron. Let me just clarify that. That is what he's being billed in TNA. Huh?
El Patron.
No, De Patron, according to what I read.
Alberto De Patron.
Yeah, I don't know how I like that. I kind of like El Patron better.
I mean, it was popular in Lucha Underground.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Again, I'm going off of what I read. Now, it could be very well a mistake, and they could very well be calling him El Patron, and I think they should be because he's already making a name for himself under that name since leaving WWE the first time. So it's not like people don't know who it is. You know, I personally like it better. I like the Alberto El Patron a lot better than Alberto Del Rio. So that's just me personally, though.
But, yeah, but we saw a lot of departures these past couple of days. Drew Galloway, the Hardy Boys, Maria,
Mike
Bennett.
Yep. I personally see Mike Bennett and Maria going back to Ring of Honor, and quite frankly, I think they should. You know, it sucks for me to say this because I actually was a big TNA fan back in 2004. That's when they first got their big national televised deal, which was with Fox Sports, back before Fox Sports is what it is now. But that's where I very first watched TNA, and I was a fan of them from day one. And as a matter of fact, this is why I always tell people, I knew about AJ Styles, and he originally wrestled in WCW, and I was a WCW exclusive guy back when I was a kid for different reasons. But so I had seen AJ Styles' WCW career, which was very short-lived because he was part of the buyout, and they gave him a tryout, didn't like him back then in WWE. So then I started watching him in TNA, and I put my finger on that guy immediately and was like, God, if this guy ever goes to WWE, he's going to be a star. And that was 13 years ago. And here we are now in 2017, and AJ Styles is arguably the most popular star who isn't John Cena. So that just goes to show you what talent is all about and how long it can take somebody to get there. But I'm disappointed with TNA. I really am. I hate what they've become. At the same time, they have a chance. Jeff Jarrett's back in charge. So, well, I'm sorry. He's consulting. I won't say back in charge, but he is once again consulting. And Anthem Sports did the right thing bringing him into TNA because of the fact that they had no idea how to do wrestling. They had no idea about the wrestling business. So why not go to the guy who not only knows wrestling, but was the founder of the company? You know, go back to him for some help. And by doing that, you bring back Dutch Mantel, you bring back Scott D'Amore, you bring back Bruce Pritchard, which some people weren't necessarily happy about, but, you know, it is what it is. But you have a chance to rebuild. You know, TNA was built off the ground of people that nobody, unless you were a diehard wrestling fan, You didn't know these guys. You didn't know who AJ Styles was. You didn't know who Samoa Joe was. You didn't know who Christopher Daniels was. You didn't know these guys. But TNA built their company off of their backs, brought in some WWE and old WCW guys a la Sting, Christian Cage, and Kurt Angle. And then, of course, the others would follow eventually, Hulk Hogan, what have you. But that's what TNA used to be. They're back to a rebuilding process, which is fine. But I hate seeing big stars go. You know, of course, we're looking forward, hopefully, to the Broken Hardys coming to WWE. Drew Galloway probably won't go to WWE again anytime soon. And I like Mike Bennett personally. I think he's an awesome wrestler, and I think he had a great character when he was called the Miracle. I think he needs to take that gimmick back to Ring of Honor. I think he would do well in Ring of Honor again. As a matter of fact, I could see him making a run for the Ring of Honor world title if done correctly.
Yeah, I think Mike Bennett does deserve to be on a high level standpoint. I would be very surprised if he got into WWE with Maria, but I honestly don't see it.
That'd be cool, but yeah, I don't see that happening either. And
the only thing I see now, don't get me wrong on this, the only thing I see is Drew Galloway and the Hardys going to WWE.
Again, I don't see Drew Galloway going at all. You know, he didn't have the best of endings with WWE. But granted, I know WWE's given people chances again, and people that didn't like WWE in the past always tend to go back at some point or another. So it's possible they could bring him back, but I don't think he'd come back for just a spot. I think he would want to come back as a big star, you know, come back as a star that they were originally tailoring him to be back when he debuted in, what was it, 2009, I want to say. You know, he was the chosen one. He had been claimed the chosen one by Vince McMahon. And, you know, we saw how that died. So unless he got another push like that, I don't really see him going back to WWE. That's just my own personal take on it. And I'd love for Mike Bennett to go to WWE. But, yeah, I think, honestly, the albatross to him going to WWE is the fact that Maria is his wife. And that sucks. That legitimately sucks for both of them, as a matter of fact. All because, I guess, the Bellas and Maria's beef, whatever that has to do with it, you know, whatever. I guess business isn't always business in some instances, so whatever.
Yeah, there's that. And then there's the fact Matt Morgan's teasing a television return, but we don't know what show.
Yeah, I'd like to see him go back to WWE. I always liked Matt Morgan.
He keeps hinting at it. He's like, man, I love Raw. When can I be on this show?
You know, oh, man. I don't know why he would love Raw. He'd do better on SmackDown. But at the same time, I don't think they would bring him back, mainly just because of the fact that Baron Corbin kind of has his role right now. I guess that would be an interesting match, Baron Corbin versus Matt Morgan.
Well, I think stuttering... that the Lone Wolf versus the Blueprint, yeah, that would be a fantastic.
Well, I don't think he'd come back as the Blueprint. I think he'd come back as the stuttering mofo that they originally tried to create him as.
Well, yeah. Well, I just thought that SmackDown was a great show all along, and it's really getting there. I mean, that ending to SmackDown was pretty great. Plus, you have Alexa Bliss and Natalya now.
Yeah.
All in all, it was a great episode. We're running out of time. So, folks, that was our show. We'll see you next week with the Bump Monkey Mafia and Gavin Dixon live on the air. Who knows what's going to happen? It could turn into conversations that we don't even know what could end up coming out of our mouth.
It's going to be a good time.
All righty. Thank you, and that was our show.